Hi, everyone. Welcome back to my podcast series, Welcome to the Winner's Circle. On this episode tonight, I will be talking to Ashanti, and she is the owner of Jolly Juice, LLC. And we met in Justin Blue's book club. So, Ashanti, good evening. How are you?
Good evening. How are you?
Good. Good, good, good. Thank you for being here and sharing the space with me.
I am so happy to be here. Thank you for having me on your platform. Today was a great day, so I'm happy to share my time with you tonight.
Thank you. Thank you. So we're going to get a little into what your business is, Jolly Juice. And I just have to say, I think it's the most, like, funnest is not a word, but I think it's like the funnest thing to say, like Jolly Juice. It just sounds fun to say. Happy, happy and jovial and jolly, just like the name. So, so because you called it Jolly Juice, I'm just curious, like, how did you come up with the name?
Well, honestly, when I was in the military, I used to make all of my meals for lunch. And when I got into the whole vegan lifestyle, I used to bring fresh juices along, and people would just kind of come into my office and they just, you know, being nosy, and they'd ask me, you know, oh, what do you have today, Jolly? Like, what juice did you make last night? And, you know, I'm just kind of telling them, and a couple people had questions. A couple people were like, well, it looks really good. I wish I could try some. And from there, one day, me and one of my old NCOs, we were walking back from S4. And in civilian terms, that is like where the logistical managers go to turn in like weekly paperwork. Okay. So we came back and my NCO was like, man, if you started a business, I would totally invest in it. Like, if you created a juice business, I would definitely invest. And he was like, what would you call it? And now, mind you, this whole time, first off, everyone loves to say my last name. They love to call it out. Like, I just walked through the motor pool, and they're like, Jolly, Jolly, Jolly. And I'm just like, hey, what's up?
Oh, you know? So Jolly is your last name.
Yes, Jolly is my last name.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought you were just making up something like, right. I don't know, like just calling it something. And he's like, ooh, Jolly Juice, like that has a ring to it. I'm going to call it this. I didn't know it was your last name. Oh, okay. Okay. Yes. I see now.
So, I mean, it does have a ring to it. Mm-hmm. And that's why I guess it came so easily. So right. When he's like, you know, what would you call it? And I'm listening to everybody kind of speak to me at once, and I'm just like, yo, Jolly Juice, like that makes the most sense to me. And he was just like, Jolly Juice, yeah, I love that. And from then on, that was it. Mm-hmm. That was the start of my business, seriously.
Nice. Mm-hmm. So really, it was just like your peers when you were in the army that kind of like prompted you, like they gave you like the idea, and you were like, okay, well, let me do this. And then it just kind of grew. That's awesome. And so you mentioned like when you started this this journey with your business and doing the natural juices, the juice blends, that you were a vegetarian, mm-hmm. but now like you're a plant-based, but specifically alkaline. So between those stages, because, you know, there's vegetarian, there's vegan, there's plant-based, there's alkaline, like there's raw, there's so many different levels mm-hmm. to it, I guess you could say. What caused you for the switch up, you know, for your lifestyle and diet? And then did that really, was it like your business that caused you to make that change? Or was it like you made that change and then you kind of grew that with your business?
So really truthfully, my health was declining. Mm-hmm. I was in the army for, at that time, probably about 4.5 years, and just dealing with stress and just, you know, the day-to-day struggles of being in the military, I was just having migraines, sleep issues, turning to and leaning on alcohol heavily, liver issues because of all those things, like anxiety, depression, so many things that I'm still like pushing through, trying to take care of everybody else. And then just one day I did this juice detox for the first time, and it was like everything I was missing. That night I got the best sleep of my life, and it was like, I didn't even know at that moment that I was going to create Jolly Juice, but I knew that took me to a place where I was like, I can't go back to eating the way I was and, you know, drinking as much as I was. And I just went on this path of self-healing, and it really, really changed my life. And I didn't look back. Like, I haven't had a piece of meat since.
Right. I was going to say, that's kind of like the same for me when I became plant-based. I felt like before I was plant-based, I was always health conscious. Mm-hmm. But there were some things a lot was happening at the time, but I came out of a meditation, and then it just kind of was like just things that I was, you know, spirit had kind of led me to do following this session. Right. It was kind of like just keeping up with the plant-based diet, and it just opened my palate to so many more things that I've never looked back. It's right. Like, I don't really miss stuff. Like, exactly. And I always say, like, I didn't go plant-based because I did not like the taste of chicken. I did not like the taste of fish. Like, I like those things, but it was something on a deeper level. And so I was willing to exchange that for something else, something more. And so I don't feel like I miss it.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I know exactly what you mean about, like, kind of not looking back in a sense. And so now, you know, now that you have like that mindset and you have your business kind of like operating on that foundation, what is it that you want to share with like the public through your business? Like, it's about the juice, it's about plant-based diet. But also, like, are you thinking, you know, of incorporating other aspects like spirituality or, you know, meditation practices or things like that?
So basically, the importance of Jolly Juice and why I feel I need to share everything I've learned would be to learn the importance of detoxing, choosing the right food. Because I talk to so many people, like older, younger, you know, whomever, and they're telling me like, oh yeah, I'm making great changes. I'm starting to eat like cauliflower and broccoli and all these great things and carrots, and I'm cringing when I hear these things. I'm cringing because I'm like, okay, these are vegetables, correct? But when I think of these people with like diabetes and Crohn's disease and high blood pressure, all these things, those vegetables, those are hybrids. Those are not going to reverse anything. More than likely, they're going to just sit in your gut, in your cells, and turn into sugars. Like, you know, starch turns into sugar, and it's just going to wreak more havoc. And you think that you're actually, you know, doing better and choosing better for yourself, but, you know, it's so much that we don't know how our bodies work and the right foods to feed it, especially being African American. I really just want to wake up my community to the right foods and how to reverse diseases, even when they say certain diseases are, you know, impossible to cure. Right. In my opinion, they're lying.
I feel like that there's like a herb, there's a plant for everything. And with the right combination, you know, there are cures with the right combinations.
Most definitely. I don't believe our creator would put us here on this earth and not give us the tools we needed to reverse anything, you know? So, the right herbs to use for each body part, each illness. And then I also want to, like you said, I do want to incorporate other things into my business. When I grow a little more, I would like Jolly Juice to be an apothecary and a botanica. and just shed light on African spirituality and hoodoo and voodoo and all those great things, and to just show people that it's not demonic. It's a part of us, and it's very, very healing. And I just see, I post little things here and there to see who kind of reacts to it. And I see people, they're interested, but they're kind of scared. You know?
Right.
So, but yeah. That's
really, I think it has a lot to do with just what people are used to, like just being brought up over the years, certain things, religious practices that they're used to from other religions and things like that. So
right.
A lot of the times it's always just, if when it comes to religion and spirituality, if it's not something that you kind of grew up with or your family has grown up with and practiced over the years, it's always like questionable. It's always quote unquote wrong, or it's not accepted as easily. You could say the same thing about somebody who is Catholic and they're looking at somebody who may be Buddhist or Muslim or, you know, switch up all those things. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're all going to look at it with, like, a skeptical eye. Like, I don't know. Like, you know? And I think it's the same thing when it comes to, like, African spirituality. Okay. And so you want to get this message across to the Black community. And, you know, it is important. I think when I read your article, you talked about, you were featured in the Orlando Voyager. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And in the article, you had mentioned that you wanted to, it was important about building and maintaining immunity in terms of intake, like our intake in our Black community, like the foods and things that we consume. How have you seen that? Like, especially now during the pandemic, like, can you see, like, progress? Like, have you seen a progression from in the past with the Black community and maintaining and building immunity and being health conscious, even if they're not plant-based or alkaline or anything like that, up until presently now? Like, what are your thoughts about that shift?
I do. I definitely see it. Actually, all of my customers, like, none of them are plant-based.
Right.
They all still eat meat. I see them definitely waking up now. I think the pandemic has kind of, you know, opened up people's minds to, like, trying new things, because with everything being pushed onto us, you know, people still want a choice. They want to be able to choose, like, what's good for them. Even if they don't have all the facts, they still don't want to be forced to doing anything. And I'm just seeing people, like, you know, come to me and they're just telling me, like, little things, like, I went to my gynecologist, you know, as normal, and she asked me what was I doing differently, because whatever issues I had were gone now. And this is my client telling me this. And so she was just like, you know, I'm keeping up with my health with my Jolly Juices. And I'm eating regularly, but I've incorporated these juice detoxes. And she was like, girl, can you pass her information to me? Like, her gynecologist.
It's true. I have to say, like, I've had growing up, like, sometimes I wear glasses or whatever. Mm-hmm. And growing up, vision has always been, like, a thing. And since I've been plant-based, I kid you not, like, every year when I go for an eye exam, the prescription decreases, my eyes get better, my vision gets better. And my doctor was like, what are you doing differently? And I'm like, I take care of myself, I eat my CMOS, like, I don't know, you know what I mean? And but it's interesting how, like, when you, over time, you see these different things happening, or you see, you can feel the changes in your body, even if it's not visible to everyone else, or it's just not, you know, even if it's not visible to you, you can feel it. Like, you can feel it in your energy, in your spirit, how your body feels, all of that. So that's awesome. I'm curious. So when you make your juices, like, what's the process behind it? Like, how do you decide what the combination is going to be that you're going to put in the blender? Is it something where someone's like, okay, I want to focus on this, and then you make something specifically for that? Or is it something where you wake up and it's on your mind or your intuition to be like, okay, I should be, you know, I should be making something with these ingredients today? Or is it just kind of like, you know what, let me just see what I'm gonna do and just kind of wing it? Like, how do you determine, like, what's the combination for each bottle?
Okay. I may sound crazy when I say this, but let's go. Yeah. So when I get in the kitchen, honestly, I let spirit got my hands. Mm-hmm. Like, no questions.
Nice.
I'm in the kitchen. Sometimes I call myself like a little kitchen witch because I don't measure anything. Like, and I know a lot of Black people, when they're in the kitchen, we just eyeball stuff, you know?
That's exactly what I do. I can't tell. Don't ask me measurements. I'm so lost.
Don't ask me. Now, when I write this ebook for juicing, I may have to use some measurements. But right now, spirit guides me. I just be in the kitchen, really just whipping it, just mm-hmm. figuring out. I know, like, myself and the struggles I had. Right. And when I think of, like, each juice I make, like, I focus on sometimes certain body, certain organs. Okay. So even certain, you know, just common illnesses, like a sore throat, right. like gyrate and ginger, that one's perfect to knocking out a sore throat, like, right. within a couple hours. So, yeah, it's a combination of.
Well, let's right. just see what I'm gonna come up with, and then I kind of just yeah. get to doing things and mixing things and making things. Mm-hmm. And then it's always that, and then it's along with like a taste test where it's like, it's yeah. missing this or it's missing that, or I need more of this, or I need more of that. So like, that's kind of like how I do mine too. So I totally get that. So let's talk about like location, and you're located in Orlando, Florida.
Correct.
Okay. And so do you feel like, you know, being where you are, do you think this has like a positive effect on your business? Like in terms of, they always say like, if you're somewhere where there's a lot of sunlight, and obviously that makes the environment more like lighthearted and just kind mm-hmm. of happier people, a little bit happier, vitamin D for yourself, and just all these different levels to that whole energy feel, being in a sunny environment. Do you feel like that affects your business in any kind of way? Like, would you have seen your business going somewhere else? Like, say if you were in New York, or if you were in, like, I don't know, Georgia, or somewhere that's just not as sunny as Florida. Like, do you see it growing? I think, like, where you are is, like, the perfect location.
So for me right now, I think mm-hmm. Florida is the perfect location with me mm-hmm. kind of just getting started.
Right.
Because I feel like after attending pop-up shows and getting a feel for like what works for my business or what really sells, like, you know, what locations and what, you know, demographics really sell my juices with, like, really me having a not having to do much of any work, you know?
Right.
It's outside, sunny, you know, nice day, you know, the people's energy is, you know, upbeat, and
right.
that sells like quick, like 30 minutes, I'm sold out.
Nice.
Inside, you can tell, like, you know, maybe at like a hotel, convention center or whatever, mm-hmm. it takes a little more effort, you know, talking to people, educating them. You know, my table, attracting them to come over, it takes a little bit more work behind that.
Right.
But I would say Florida is definitely a great place for me to start to mm-hmm. wake my people up. But I'm headed towards Atlanta next summer.
Okay.
I just feel such a good vibe. Like that is where I'm going to thrive and grow mm-hmm. and really, like, mark my territory and really get Jolly Juice up and running. Like, because mm-hmm. their entrepreneur spirit is so vibrant over there. It is insane.
I was gonna say that I went to Atlanta. I think it was like back in 2019, like that spring, and it was my first time there. Me and the kids have went and visited my cousin. I have some friends there, but the vibe is just so different. Like I love it because it was just like so black, but then also at the same time, like it was like you had said, like that entrepreneur spirit. Like everybody is there building for themselves. But also it's such a big, like, I feel like when it comes to black folks and veganism, Atlanta is like the capital for that.
Oh yeah.
So I feel like with that there too, like you're going to have so many more people who are open to that lifestyle.
Right.
It just seems like more fitting for some reason. Like it's just a good feel that goes with it. So I get what you're saying about the whole like Atlanta piece.
And the community definitely. Vibe.
As right
out there, it's not the same. I would say it's growing in Florida, but that black community vibe, like where you know I help you, you help me, man. Right. I felt that with just being there for like 1 week.
Wow!
Oh my goodness, I need this, and that's in that same week I made that decision. Like, yeah, when my lease is up, I'm coming.
Nice, and so. You're in Florida. That's where you grew up. That's where your business is. And before that, you were in the Army. So why did you join the Army? I'm just curious, like, why? Because it's a bit of a difference from, like, the Army and then now, like, an entrepreneur. So why did you join the Army to begin with?
I joined the Army to be able to travel. I knew it would provide me opportunities to travel, go to school, you know, without having... a crazy amount of debt behind me.
Right.
And of course, to going into it to serve and protect my country. Now, coming out of it, I have different views on that because I just honestly think sometimes we're doing more harm than good going over there to these places like Afghanistan. But that's a whole nother conversation. But yeah, I joined the Army for those reasons. And I'm really glad that I did because it honestly set me, it set my whole life up. Like getting out, man, I feel like my skill set and just my background of being associated with the military, there's so many doors that have been opened for me. Like I could just, honestly, I hate to say it like this, but it's like applying for jobs or anything, doing anything outside with that military background. People are just like, oh, you were in the military? Oh yeah. Don't even worry about it. Like you can pass all, you know, all the applications. You don't even need to do all none of that. Come on in. And I'm like, oh wow. Okay. Thanks.
Yeah.
You know? So I wouldn't change it, but man, it was a hell of a ride.
Can you talk about a little bit about like your experiences in the Army, if you don't mind? I know you had talked about it in the article, but can you touch base? I think you had talked about like there was an experience like you were in some type of vehicle or a tank or something.
Right.
Can you talk about that?
Yes. So it was actually my first convoy. So it's so funny. If these people ever listen to this, they're going to be mad, but oh well.
Oh gosh.
So we were in Afghanistan and one of my coworkers was dating our platoon sergeant. And that's kind of a no-no when you're lower enlisted, especially in the same unit. So my squad leader at the time, he was kind of bumping his gums about the situation. And I was in the room and I kind of relayed the message back to my coworker. And of course, you know, she relayed the message back to her man. Yeah. And word got back around to my my leader, and in some petty way, one of the my other coworkers could not go on the mission that day. They had like a dental appointment, and so I was next up, and I had never been outside the wire, which is basically outside of our base, where, you know, we're kind of the safest. So he called me in the office and he's like, Dolly, you're going on this mission. And before he even told me what I was getting ready to do, he mentioned that, you know, I know you told such and such what we were talking about, and, you know, what stays in this office is supposed to stay in this office, yada, yada, yada. I just kind of felt like, you know, a grown man should not be talking about what another grown man is doing.
Right.
You know, that's none of your business, honestly. So, basically, he was being petty, and he sent me on that mission for that reason. He could have chosen anybody else. And right. I went on that mission that day, and it's kind of funny because a lot of my battle buddies were like, you know, today was the only day we had the chaplain pray for us. They had been on many missions before, but the chaplain never prayed for them except for that day. Mm-hmm. And so we went out on a mission, and, you know, my battle brothers are just kind of showing me things I haven't seen. And I'm like, oh, Dolly, look at this. And I just remember we were looking at, like, the town and the children running around and these, like, these sheep that they had with them. Mm-hmm. And it was like for 2 seconds, I turned my head and just this explosion went off, and it was like we blacked out. Mm-hmm. And I just remember waking up and just kind of frantically feeling, you know, every part of my body to make sure, you know, I even have my legs to get out of this vehicle.
Right.
And the whole vehicle was on fire. It was, you couldn't even see. Like, I just remember pulling down my battle buddy from the gunner's hatch, and he's this tall, like, 6 foot, you know, almost 200-pound man, and I have to pull him down, and who knows how long he was up there still with the explosion going, and after we had blacked out. So we finally got out of the vehicle, and Special Forces and everything just surrounded us within 10 seconds. We were covered by just so many people while we're getting shot at by, you know, the Taliban and everything. It was a lot going on, heavy, like, adrenaline just rushing. And you're having all this gear, and you're just, like, light as a feather trying to run, you know, to cover and shoot back in. Get into another vehicle. And we waited out there for like, it was like 10 hours we had to wait out there to rescue the truck that went down that we were in and secure the perimeter. It was a lot that day, and I just remember someone telling me, like, oh my god, you know you're getting a cab, right? And I was like, what is a cab? Like, I do not care about no cab.
Yeah. I was gonna ask you, what is that? Yeah.
So a cab basically just means a combat action badge. It's something to kind of, like, chest candy, a little medal to put on your dress.
Okay, like a pin.
Like a pin, right. And then you can put it on, like, your Army. It's like your Army resume. We call it ERV. And I'm just like, that's great. Like, I don't care about that. Like, did you not just see me get blown up?
You know? Right, right.
So that was a very, man, it's like I knew what I was signing up for. And I feel like Black people have a habit of doing this. Like, okay, I signed up for this. Got it.
Right.
But, like, in the moment, it was like, all right, I didn't sign up for all this. Uh-uh.
Not this part. I signed up for this part, but not this part.
Not this part right here. Uh-uh. Right. Yeah. So, yeah, life-changing moment.
So do you feel like now when you came back to the States after that, like, I'm sure that was a traumatic event because your body probably was like, I mean, mentally and physically, your body was probably in some sort of like shock or just anxiety because, I mean, I've been in a car accident before. Mm-hmm. And after a basic car accident, which is on zero compared to what you went through, mm-hmm. you're all like, you're on edge. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, you're on edge for maybe a week or two after before you really start driving again yourself or even in the passenger seat. Like, you're just constantly like over your shoulder. Like, right. you're just always on edge of that anxiety. So, I know, I can only not say I know, but I can only imagine just like what that would have been like for to be in like your shoes in that situation. And so when you came back to the States, like after experiencing like all of that and you came back to the States, you did your detox and you realized that like, you know, the plants, they're really like helping you to aid in your physical healing. Mm-hmm. What was it where you felt like, okay, like I need to do like kind of like a mental healing in a sense, like from what I experienced? And if you, I mean, I don't know if you experienced other things while you were away, mm-hmm. but just from that one experience alone too, like what was the time when you were like, okay, I'm doing my physical healing with changing my diet, my lifestyle, like the juices, like plant-based, alkaline. Mm-hmm. But when was the moment when you decided like that it was time to look into your mental healing?
I realized that moment was when I couldn't focus at work anymore. I couldn't, mm-hmm. like, almost like I could not, I just couldn't do normal things anymore. Like,
right.
do send reports up or even mm-hmm. just show up for PT and be okay with just talking and relaying messages to my platoon sergeant, or, you know, interacting with my soldiers, or
right.
just driving to work. Oh my goodness. Like mm-hmm. being in a relationship and certain triggers happening, man, right. loud sounds, like really just shaking me to my core. It was a lot of things. And I just knew like something, you know, something had to give, like something had to change. And
right.
spending more time in behavioral health and trying to see, you know, the connections between what had happened to me and then just the daily struggles of being in the military, being a Black woman in the military.
Right.
So mm. many things. And just, it was just everything just piling up on me and just trying to, you know, suppress all of that. It wasn't working.
Right, right.
It was not working at all. And then it's like, the Army doesn't really care about any of that stuff. They just want mm-hmm. you to show up and perform. Like,
right.
they say, you know, take care of yourself and family first and all this stuff. But honestly, they, you know, they need that body. They need that count. And they need you present and ready to go. Like, you can't, they don't need you in, like, you know, in shambles. You got to be right. physically and mentally fit to lead, you know, other people in the battle. Right, so right. when I knew I couldn't do any of that, I was like, oh, yeah, it's time.
Okay. And so now, you know, that you're back and you had to like learn how to heal in a sense, which I'm sure led you to researching a lot of different things, whether it was like plant-based things, whether it was like you had mentioned, behavioral things. What are some of the new things, like the new knowledge that you gained from all of that research that you apply now currently that you feel like, you know, this, I'm glad I learned this. I'm glad I researched this. Like, this was definitely a game changer for me.
Definitely. Detoxing,
mm-hmm.
taking, even if it's 1 to 2 days, to allow your body to rest
mm-hmm.
when it comes to digesting, detoxing, herbal remedies,
mm-hmm.
meditation.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I've been doing a lot more guided meditations these days mm-hmm. as well.
Nice.
And just diving into, I don't know why I feel like soursop is this cure-all fruit mm-hmm. / plant.
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like if it can help cure cancer and reverse those cancerous cells, I feel like it can do anything, you know? Like,
right,
your yeast infection is nothing to soursop, you know?
Right.
Learning about all the minerals that sea moss has to offer. Also, learning about your body really thrives off of minerals more than vitamins, you know? A lot of us don't get enough, like, copper and iron. Like, you know, how much copper is in an impossible burger? Probably none. You know?
Right.
And just knowing, also knowing, like, being vegan or vegetarian, like, being a healthy version of that is not, you know, what we buy in these grocery stores in the freezer section with the impossible meat. It needs to be whole foods, like, in that produce section. That is key. Like, if you can grow it, that would be even better. But that produce section is where you need to be, seriously. And then also learning about hybrid foods. Like, a lot of us don't even know really the difference, you know?
Right. I was going to say, that's something that, I mean, even though, it's funny because when I became plant-based, I was strictly plant-based. Like, I wasn't eating any of the vegan processed foods, none of the vegan processed meats or anything. I really didn't start that until last year, which was 2020. I have it, like, moderately. Like, it's more sometimes a transition food that I let the kids have if I make a meal, because they're not going to be plant-based. You know what I mean? Like, they're kids. But I might buy it for them every once in a while, that kind of thing, to give them a break from actual meat during the week or something like that. But, and so then I might have a little bit here and there, but I didn't really start that stuff until like a year ago. But literally, like, my first, I've been plant-based since 2018. So, like, literally, like, my first 2 years was, like, exclusively plants only. And I remember reading about, like, Dr. Sebi, and he had like his food, alkaline food list, and hybrid fruits or like hybrid vegetables. And I never really paid attention to it. Although now that's something that I am touching a little bit more into. Although sometimes I do feel like things that, like, even when I'm in the grocery store, my spirit will lead me to get more of versus the last one. Sometimes I know why, sometimes I don't know why, but I just go with it and say, like, okay, we're just going to do this. But, you know, it's interesting. But, yeah, that is something, like, that whole, like, alkaline piece of it is something that I do want to dig a little deeper into to get a little more knowledge about. I mean, and I love teas. Like, I'm a huge tea person, like, even before I was plant-based. Yeah. So, like, I've always been, like, big on the herbs and all that kind of stuff. But, for me, like, as a plant-based person, like, I really want to focus soon on, like, just the alkaline aspect of it. And a lot of people think, like, oh, you're vegan, like, you're healthy. But it's like, wait a minute, not really. Like, there's this, a little level.
It's level. You know,
right. And so now they're like, okay. Because I have family, like, when I go see family, they're like, oh, you're vegan now? And I'm like, yeah, like, okay. So they'll give me something, and it's really vegetarian. And I'm like, I can't eat this. They're like, well, why? And I'm like, it's got, like, milk in it. They're like, what? Right. It's, like, so particular. So, you know, or then even, like, with the vegan stuff, I'm more plant-based. Exactly. So somebody will be like, oh, here, it's vegan. Like, they'll give me, like, you know, vegan cupcake or something. And I eat vegan cupcakes, but... Right. They'll be like, oh, here's a vegan cupcake. And I'm like, oh, more like plant-based. They'll be like, what? No, like, oh. So, like, it's just so funny. Like, there's so many levels to it. But I totally feel you on that. Like, with the alkaline stuff and, like, with the hybrid vegetables. So, yeah, anyways, I was just saying that because I do want to look into that part of it.
Definitely.
So, yeah.
I think my favorite is hearing, like, family members, friends, whatever. They'll be like, oh, so you're vegan? Okay, so you don't eat fish? And I'd be like, No.
That's happened to me so many times. I can't tell you how many times I've went to a cookout. I've went to a party, just some type of social setting. Mm-hmm. And somebody was like, do you want something? I'm like, nah, I don't eat meat. I'm plant-based. Mm-hmm. You want some fish? No, I don't. I'm plant-based. Like, fish is meat. It's right. Not a plant. It doesn't grow. Like, it's in the water. Like, it's an animal. So, but it's so funny how that happens. Or they'll be like, oh, we're doing like scallops. You want some? And I'm like, no, like, I can't eat that. Like, so most times when I go to places, I kind of eat beforehand, or I don't want to be like that person making it hard for everyone. So I'll just like, you know what? Just pick a spot, y'all, and I'll just get some fries and call it a day.
Okay. Like, fries and a salad.
Right. So, yeah. Even one time I went out to, like, brunch with my friends, and it was, like, a prefix menu. Mm-hmm. Even the prefix menu, the closest thing they had was, like, a salad with, like, some type of Parmesan cheese or some type of cheese on it. But I couldn't have it because, like, all the cheese.
Right.
And I was like, but that was, like, literally the only thing I got. Everything else was, like, shrimp and grits. And like, it was just, like, nothing I could possibly even try to, like, you know, pick apart. But I had to tell the waitress, like, listen, this is my diet. This is like this salad is literally the only thing I can have on this menu. Like, can you please just take out the cheese?
Right.
So they did it. But it's just funny when you go to places, like, how that is. Okay, so now you know, we can talk about like social media, business, and like your feature in the Orlando Voyager and that article. I have a question, like, how did it being featured in the article, like, it's such a public like platform that where like literally anybody in the city could see it. So like, how did that make you feel knowing that like you were going to really put yourself out there like that?
Honestly, when I got the email, I thought I was being played with. You know, like, some people have contacted me in my email, like, you know, oh, you want to be my sugar baby? Just wild stuff.
Scamming stuff, yeah.
So when I seen that, I was like, nah, ain't no way. I looked into it. You know, they had a real website. I was like, oh. You know, they had other stories.
It's legit, yeah.
Yeah, like, oh my, okay, this may be real. So I responded, and you know, they weren't wanting any money from me. So I was like, okay, we're getting somewhere. And then when it really set in, I was like, wait a minute, whoa, hold on.
Mm-hmm.
There are people out here having conversations about me, you know, like in rooms I haven't even stepped foot in. Like, that made me tear up because I'm, you know, I just feel like this young little black girl that's just still trying to, you know, live out her dreams and heal her community in the process.
Right.
And I'm like, people are seeing this? What? Like, whoa. It was very shocking, very surprising. I've been looking like at people that I know or even like school or previous jobs I've had, and I'm just like, who did this? Who nominated me?
Right.
I'm just like still kind of in disbelief that like, oh my God.
Yeah.
It was me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. Right. Somebody, some little angel that's by me, you know. Yeah, it was amazing. It felt really good to have that's that awesome recognition.
Yeah, definitely that shows like impact in some way or form, whether it was like a conversation you have with someone,
right?
It could have been at an event, just your customer service that you have if they purchase any juices from you, just the quality of your product and those kind of things. So it could be stemming from like a lot of different things, and it just shows like the impact, but also too, like, you're staying like genuine through it all. And I think people really like, they gravitate towards that, and they really appreciate that from people. And so when they see someone like who's genuine and honest and just who has like good energy about them with that kind of thing, they really want to they want to help you out too. Okay. And so in the question about like being in the kitchen as a little girl, I think like your stepfather was the one who introduced you to like cooking and preparing meals and things like that. And mm-hmm. I feel like clearly that was probably like your foundation to where you are now. What was your favorite thing? I'm just curious, like, what was your favorite thing as a child that you liked to make? And that, like, is that still like your comfort now? And like, do you go back to make that same thing?
Ooh, so many things. I'm a huge foodie, and probably because mm-hmm. of my stepdad.
Yeah.
We used to watch, I don't know if you remember, like Emerald live cooking shows.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Yeah, on like the Food Network. That was our thing. Like, sit down, like, we'd make food and then we'd sit down and watch him and, like, you know, his little saying, like, bam. Mm-hmm. Love that show. So in the kitchen cooking with him, I remember making eggs my first time ever, even, you know, just kind of figuring out my way in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And then I would say, honestly, my favorite thing was probably learning how to cook macaroni and cheese. Mm-hmm. I'm a macaroni and cheese connoisseur. Like, don't play with me.
That's like the rite of passage for everybody in a Black family. If you don't know how to do that baked mac and cheese, listen, something's wrong.
And if you don't know how to make it right, I'm not eating nothing else.
Right. Yes.
So, yeah, that's probably my favorite. I think I've definitely surpassed him. Like, I like to think about that now. Like, I don't know. I don't think you know, can top my macaroni and cheese now. So I think, yeah, that was one of my favorite times, but also learning and kind of getting thrown into it mm-hmm. to cook Thanksgiving dinner one year.
That's the thing too, growing up Black, is when you do one thing one year for Thanksgiving,
right,
it just continues, and then you might have more mm-hmm. added on to your whatever you're bringing. Yeah.
Exactly. And it was a hit though, and I was young, so that made me feel good as well. So, like, I don't know, nowadays I am literally always in the kitchen. Like, even right now, I'm sitting in the kitchen.
You know what? I am too. I'm the same exact way. Like, the kitchen is like my spot. Like, if I look, like, before I moved into where I'm in now, my apartment, and I was mm-hmm. apartment hunting, mm-hmm. people look for different things based on their interests. And so for me, it's always been like the kitchen.
The kitchen.
How I learned, but it was like that mac and cheese thing. Mm-hmm. And, I'm still, like, because I'm plant-based, that was something that I didn't really do too much of, like, when I first became plant-based. Right. But since I started getting the vegan stuff for, like, the kids sometimes to have, they mm-hmm. liked the baked mac and cheese that I would make.
Right.
So then I was like, okay, how can I veganize this for them? And so I've been, like, experimenting with the different cheeses and, like, mm-hmm. things like that. I think I finally found one. And it tastes pretty good. I mean, it doesn't taste like the baked mac and cheese I grew up on, because it's not. But it still tastes good. But I think that's the thing for me. Like, I have certain comfort foods from, like, when I was a child that I definitely, like, I try to veganize it, especially when I get in the mood of, like, if I miss back home, thinking about mm-hmm. a family member or something like that. Like, I try to make something that reminds me of them. Or even just, like, growing up, like, you know, a lot of the times, a lot of the things that we grew up on were, like, plant-based or vegan by default. We didn't even know. Mm. Like, you know, if you do, like, my grandmother, like, sweet potato pie. Like, I love sweet potato pie. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of those Southern mm-hmm. home foods are just, like, plant-based or vegan, because a lot of them were growing their own vegetables on their own farms. Okay. Like, this was their market. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Outside of the animals, so that's kind of how they did that. But yeah, I thought that was a nice little piece of the article. I was reading it and it kind of like brought me back a little nostalgic moment, and I was like, oh my god, I remember like when I was a little girl cooking. So I was like, we gotta talk about that a little bit.
That's great.
But even still, like, to the mac and cheese, I don't know if you watched High on the Hog on Netflix.
My favorite. But,
You watched it, so you saw mm-hmm. the episode of when the slave who created the baked mac and cheese.
Oh my, it looks so good.
Right. But how he actually, like, prepared it like in that that ceramic, but then like he covered it. Right. And like he somehow it cooked from like the bottom and crisped from the top. I don't know what the heck it did, but it just came out looking so good. And I was like, that is a bomb way to make mac and cheese.
Right.
And like we've never done it like that before.
Never.
So yeah. Okay. And so you talked a little bit about like your army experience, healing, spirituality, Jolly Juice, everything that goes into it. I just want to touch on like navigating like as a Black entrepreneur and then as a female, like starting this, because I know it's everybody's like, especially with 2020, everybody's like, oh, be an entrepreneur, get an LLC. Like it was just like the trend. It was a good trend. I'm not going to lie. That was, I think that was a great trend. Whether you knew anything about it or not, I think it was a trend that you can hop on and then somehow figure it out later, because either way, it'll benefit you in the future if you keep up with it. But at the same time, like, there are other things that, like, go into it, like, behind the scenes, like the papery, admin-y kind of things. And so, or just even, like, representing yourself as a professional business organization, quote, unquote. So can you talk about that experience a little bit? Like, how is it navigating, like, the steps of starting your business, operating your own business? Like, just what is it like being an entrepreneur?
It's wild. It's really wild. Learning as you go, honestly. Yeah. Like you said, hopping on that wave, like, I didn't even know what an LLC was.
Right.
Before all of that, and I just knew I was getting out of the Army. I had some experiences that made me feel like, you know what? I don't ever want anyone else. And when I say this, I'm talking directly about my last commander.
Okay.
I don't want anybody else to ever feel like they have control over me, right, to where, you know, they can grant, you know, whatever it is, like a job to me or take it away. I didn't like that feeling, especially after doing so much for my unit. I didn't like the fact that someone could just, you know, wave their authority in my face and, you know, basically tell me I couldn't do something as I exit the military due to some other things. But that really put everything into perspective for me. And I was like, yeah, I need my own business so no one can take that away from me. You know what I'm saying? I'll always have something to, you know, stand on.
Right.
So navigating this world as a Black woman, an entrepreneur, is hard. I'm leaning on, you know, people I encounter, like networking and having, you know, that circle to help you out, and just kind of learning as I go. I mean, you know, no one can hold your hand, so you really got to do the work yourself as well. Right. But I'm still learning to this day, trying to trademark things and, you know, making sure, you know, just having an LLC, you need an EIN, and then you need business credit, and then you need so many other things that go along with it. And it's just like, it's so much that we don't know, but just taking, you know, it's not a race. It's not like you don't got to do it super quickly. Just start something today, you know what I mean?
Right.
And you definitely will figure it out along the way.
Right. So do you feel like when it comes, especially when it comes to networking and attending certain events and just connecting with other individuals, do you feel as if, like, are you treated any differently from other entrepreneurs because you're Black, or because you're a woman, or because you're a Black woman? When you're at these events, do you feel like you're treated any differently?
So honestly, I could see how that could be an issue, but lately I've only been doing events that, you know, create safe spaces for Black people, to be honest, because that's my target audience anyway, you know, the Black community. Not to say I am against selling to other races, not at all. It's just like, you know, the other races, they already know the importance of health. They're already incorporating fresh juices and raw foods and, you know, all these things. They know so much already. And I feel like our community is a little, just a little bit behind, and they're, you know, they're starting to wake up. But yeah, my focus is definitely on those Black community events that,
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. Or if you don't experience that because you are intentionally like in Black spaces.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. And so do you feel like social media has affected like your business, like the growth of your business? And then, you know, do you want to talk a little bit about that? And then like, how is it managing like multiple social media accounts? Because that's, I think that's one of the things too that some people look at when they're starting like their own business or they're wanting to shift gears and they want to promote something else. It's managing the social media because there's so many platforms you can use. There's so many audiences you can capture on the, each of these different platforms. Right. And you want to capture everyone. But I think sometimes, especially when people first start out, they're worried about like the balance of like managing all of those things. So how do you like, what's your experience with social media in your business and then like balancing it?
My experience has been, well, okay. First, someone told me that I needed to be posting at minimum once a day.
Yeah.
So when I heard that, I was like, once a day? That's overwhelming.
Like, yeah, like, it is actually.
You know, trying to do, you know, trying to process orders and man, like go shopping for the orders. Like, you know, then I have a life as well. I'm in school, you know, having a social life and all of that. And you want me to post once a day? Oh my goodness. It was like, you know what? Maybe this is not the route I want to take. But then I was like, all right, you know what? Put your big girl panties on and let's get it. So I feel like after I just started with that, posting once a day, no matter what it was something in line with Jolly Juice or health or something I felt like, you know, the people needed to know.
Right.
And as I just kind of built that confidence with, you know, creating content and figuring out, you know, my plan for the week, it started getting easier. I catch myself some days posting twice a day now.
Right. I was going to say, because I see, I follow you on Instagram and I see a couple posts from you a day now.
Yes. It's really just about doing it. It's scary at first, but then like, you're like, okay, now you got a rhythm. Now you have like a schedule. So I'm posting at, you know, certain times now. I have content already, you know, created from the weekend. And now I'm able to like balance it out, you know?
Right.
And, but it's definitely helped. Oh my goodness. It's helped so much. I feel like TikTok has more reach than Instagram does. I don't know. Instagram feels really bougie. TikTok is kind of like, you know, everybody's just like showing love. Like,
yeah,
it's definitely helped my following grow with posting at a minimum once a day and has people from all over the world interested. And I'm like, okay, y'all just hold on.
Yeah,
the site is coming. The shipping's coming.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because I experienced too a little bit. Because I mean, I work full time. I have the kids. I have three kids.
Right.
So I'm a parent full time, and then I have a life. Mm-hmm. I've got to sleep.
Right. Got to eat.
Right. Right. And then I have my projects that I'm doing now, like my podcast. I have another project I'm working on, which is just about done, but that took up a lot of time every night. Then it's just like, you know, the things that I'm into to like decompress at the end of my day that also take time. And so it's always like, you know, it does become a challenge of like, how many times a day are you going to post? So I've kind of balanced myself out in terms of posting on social media. I've balanced it to where it's like, how do I feel when I wake up in the morning? If I feel like I want to post all day long or maybe post or something, I'm going to do it. If I don't want to post, I'm not going to post.
Right, right.
And I think a lot of people, like, they follow me, but I think that somehow they, in a weird way, understand that. So they're not, like, looking for something from me every day.
Right.
But it's cool because, I mean, I have a texting community. So I'm also, like, that's mm-hmm. a separate platform. And it's not everybody who's on my Instagram or who's on my TikTok or who's on my Facebook. It's some of them are complete strangers. I have no clue who they are. I've never met in my life. But I'm building with them because
right.
I have a connection with them. So I think the balance just has to do, for me anyway, I think the balance has to do with, like, what you've got going on in your reality, too. Now, if definitely. Obviously my schedule lightens up, I'll probably do a lot more. Mm-hmm. Or I can do a lot more, but I think too it's always about, like, what do you have, like, really, really happening in your reality to post and
right.
that many things. But I do get, like, that once a day thing is overwhelming because sometimes I don't feel like posting, like, one thing a day. So I totally understand that. Mm-hmm. And so now, like, with social media and the growth, like, do you find that more people are reaching out to you for orders, or more people are reaching out to you in terms to network or, like, events or things like that?
Oh man, more people are reaching out to me for, yes, juice orders.
Mm-hmm.
I have people in my inbox, like, now it's like they're seeing me as, like, this master that, you know, I feel that I already am, but I kind of have to prove to everybody else, like, I know mm-hmm. what I'm talking about.
Right, right.
And they're hopping in my inbox just telling me things, like, I have this disease. What do you think is good for this?
And I was gosh, like, you got to come up with some kind of liability clause. you never know.
Listen, I guess they're giving consent by giving it to me. I don't
true,
know. But so it's that. And then it's like, so this was a big one for me because at first I was feeling like, you know, dang, people are not really feeling my content. They're not really, you know, just a simple like would suffice right. as support, you know? And I'm like, okay. But when I look at the analytics, I see way more people sharing than likes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously way more views than likes. And I'm like, okay, so it's useful information. And y'all are just, I understand that health and, you know, these diseases and whatnot is a sensitive topic. It's right. almost like one of those things, you know, kind of like religion and politics that you don't really talk about.
Right, right.
So I get people kind of shy away from kind of associating even with a post that just may even suggest that you right. have, like, diabetes. You know what I mean?
Right, so right.
I understand it. But at first it was like, you know, dang, do I need to rethink my plans? But when I saw that, I was like, okay, no. And then people starting to really come to me and ask me for help. I was like, all right, you guys are watching and you guys need this, you know, right. it's going to take you a little bit of time.
I was going to say, that's one of the things I like about your page is that, like, I feel like you have, like, a good balance of, like, information. Mm-hmm. So, like, I see the difference in your posts. Like, I see, like, a little advertising, like, mm-hmm. with the juices. I see, like, information about, like, the educational posts, like, this mm-hmm. this herb is for this or this type of healing or things like that. Then mm-hmm. I see, like, the posts about, like, I think one time, like, you made a juice or something like that. Like, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, it's always, like, a good balance of, like, each one. So right. I can people are coming to you like, well, I'm sick with this. Like, I
did, right.
like, oh, my God, you're good. Because I'd have been like, don't ask me any questions. Like, go call your doctor. Like, I might know, but do not take my word to heart, because if it doesn't work in your case, because I don't know what else is wrong with you,
right.
don't come back to me. But yeah, I totally get that. But I noticed that about, like, your posts, and I like that because it mm-hmm. shows people that it's not just, because everybody's on a health kick now, everybody's on a juicing kick now, and mm-hmm. this and that. It shows that you know what you're talking about. So it's right. almost like, you know,
this
is my product. But not only do I make this stuff and put it in a blender, right. like, I know the science and the knowledge behind it. I know the spirituality behind it. Exactly. Like, I know the healing behind it. And so you can reach different audiences, I think, with all of, like, those differences. And they kind of all just kind of gear towards you. So, okay. And so you talked about shipping. That was going to be my next question. You like Jolly Juice and, like, shipping juices. Mm-hmm. Do you know, I know right now you're just focusing, like, on Orlando and Florida. Mm-hmm. Are you going to, do you expand, though, past Orlando and other parts of Florida as a whole? Or is it just Orlando? Like, what's your limit right now? And then, like, are you going to ship and how soon in the future?
So, right now I am servicing the Orlando area and surrounding mm-hmm. areas like Cocoa Beach, Tampa, Brevard, where else? For now, that's about it. Mm-hmm. I have people in Jacksonville and a few in Miami that are like, you know, interested, but I'm like, ooh, that's kind of far. Like, mm-hmm. are you guys willing, you know, to drive halfway or something?
The midpoint.
So, but here soon, my website is going to be finishing up before, should be before the end of November. But the shipping, I'm just going to say that's going to happen in divine timing. Mm-hmm. I don't want to put a time stamp on that, but it's definitely coming soon because my audience is growing and I need to be able to, you know, provide what they want.
So
I'm looking into a lot of different avenues, you know, third party vendors for shipping, and even just thinking about doing it myself through like FedEx and mm-hmm. you know, just the weight of it and how much is it gonna cost to go to Atlanta or to go to New York, you know what I mean?
Then I got because I think when I first started following you, when I first met you in book club, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, her juices look great. Like, I want some. But then you're like, I don't ship. I'm like, oh. So only in New York. So I'm sure there's somebody out there who's like me, who's like, oh, I want to try it. And then they're like,
So, right. Yeah. Heartbroken. Yeah.
Well, next time, though, that I'm in Orlando or, you know, I guess in any surrounding areas, I'll have to hit you up and be like, I need some juice. Because that's my thing. Like, when I travel.
Right.
Usually before I travel, I do like a detox. I'll do like a cleanse, an all natural juice cleanse for like 5 days. Mm-hmm. And then like, I'll just take, I'll have some herbal teas and like, I'll take my vitamins and things like that just to kind of prep me and my body mm-hmm. for like the travels. But then it's like, when I get to the destination and it's like, okay, I'm ready to eat. And I'm like, what's around here?
Right.
I don't even know what's around here, or just finding something that is like,
mm-hmm.
Because some smoothie spots you'll find in the mall, but it's a lot of sugar.
It's a lot of sugar. You know?
And mm-hmm. it's like, it's smoothies, but it's like junk food smoothies.
Right.
And so then it's like, you know, how do you find someone, like, when you're traveling to different places that has, like, something that you would make at home or something that's all natural? So I lucked out this summer when I went to L.A.
Mm-hmm.
called Simply Wholesome, which I thought was great. So that was like kind of good, because then I was like, I don't know what I'm going to eat, you know? And then I went to Orlando before this summer, and then I went a little bit before this summer, and it was still kind of like, what am I going to eat here? Like, where's the, I don't know what to eat, like that kind of thing. But okay. And so you ever thought about doing like a recipe book, like a juice recipe with some raw meals or anything like that?
So I have actually. So like, you probably are going to ask this. So I've been thinking about doing like an ebook, like a juice ebook, or even just like plant-based meals, like geared towards mainly alkaline meals. Also, I've been thinking on doing Zoom classes. Like, you know, it's so funny. Like, we sit in a book club, you know, every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And I just look, you know, I'm observing everything and everybody. And just, you know, looking at our moderator, I'm like, why am I not doing this? Why am I not, you know, holding
a
space to teach people about what they should be eating and, you know, just everything that you know, people don't know. And I'm like, dang, that's an idea, you know? So thinking about that, I'm thinking about catering for different companies.
Nice.
Also thinking about doing meals as well. There have been so many people that have been asking me to cook.
And I've
cooked for two people. And I messed up doing that because they were like, yeah, she can cook too. She need to start making food. And I was like, oh God, do y'all know how much time it takes to make stuff from scratch?
My friend does the one who I do the juice detox with. She also does like a meal prep.
Right.
And so, her thing is called the liquid cleanse. So that's when we do like the juicing and we'll do like the aloe shots and things like that. And she did a meal prep for me. I think I was like her first vegan plant-based client, but she did like a whole like 5-day meal prep for me. Ooh. And it was a challenge for her because I was her first, but also just like she had so many other clients.
Right.
But because mine was so specific, it probably was like, honestly, I probably was like a pain in her ass, but she made me a nice spread 5 days.
Nice.
But that just came to mind when I had asked you that question about like recipes and like things like that. But I think that'd be great too, like a Zoom with just like a session of just like educational pieces behind everything. Right. Like all of that would be awesome.
Definitely.
Okay. So we chatted about a lot of different things and maybe some possible new upcoming projects and things like that. And so do you want to share like your social media? I know you're working on your website, but do you want to share like your social media that people can follow you on?
So right now I am on Instagram and TikTok as Jolly Rancha. That is JOLLYRANCHAA. I do not currently use Facebook. I don't know. I just have this whole, I don't know. I have this weird thing about Facebook, but follow me on Instagram and TikTok.
I feel like too, in terms of like just posting and like just posting and posting, Instagram and TikTok are kind of like made for that.
Right.
I feel like Facebook, you can post on it, but it's more like they want you to post and write a whole story behind it kind of thing. I don't know. It's a different feel on Facebook, but I know what you mean. But
it is. And then your parents, I mean, not your parents, but your family members, you know. Oh,
right.
Give me a call, baby. Your cousin in the hospital. What?
Grandma. Right. Like, the post is not about this. Yeah.
You know?
they don't really know how to use it. So they just kind of like, here's a spot to write a message. I'm going to just write it.
Right.
Okay. All right. So, thank you for chatting with me on this episode. This was great. It gave me a chance to learn more about you and just learn more about like what you're offering. And I think this is something perfect. I think the timing of it is perfect too. Like it couldn't have been better just given what's happening in the world, what's happening within our own Black community with the shift and just kind of like prepping for more that's to come. You know what I mean? Like, I know we just talked about this in book club the other day about like honing in on something. And then when the time is right, like your skill will be valuable. I feel like this is like the time, like because people are starting to kind of wake up, like they're kind of rubbing their eyes first, getting out the bed kind of.
Right.
And like in the meantime, same time, like you're preparing and you're giving like all the information and knowledge. And then when they fully awake, like you're ready.
They'll be ready.
Right. The timing I think is perfect. I think timing wise, everything is divine timing. I think it's perfect. So, but thank you, Ashanti, for being on this episode. You guys follow her on TikTok and follow her on Instagram and, you know, just pay attention to her her posts to find out when she ships and, you know, just get you some little education. I mean, it all just kind of starts with a little bit of research and just continuing it. So thank you, Ashanti, for being on the episode.
Thank you for having me. I had fun.
All right. Until next time. Bye, guys.